Years and years of painstaking scholarly work, piles and piles of papers kept largely on dusty shelves. But over four decades on from the Second Vatican Council, it's time for the ecumenical movement to come out of the libraries and conference halls and into the daily lives of Christian churches and people. That, in a nutshell, is the thinking behind a new volume with the rather grand title Receptive Ecumenism and the Call to Catholic Learning, a collection of essays by over 30 acclaimed theologians and ecumenists from different denominations. The book is in fact a very practical guide to ways in which each church can take an honest look at its own tradition and ask what it can learn from the traditions and practices of its ecumenical partners.
I think it's in substance thought that what John Paul II called exchange not only of ideas but of gifts.
As president of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper is one of the contributors to this book. He was on hand for its Rome launch at the Centro Pro Unione, where many of the Vatican II experts met to draw up an exciting new document, Unitatis Redintegratio, marking the Catholic Church's official entry into the ecumenical movement. Cardinal Kasper hopes this Receptive Ecumenism project can bring a new direction and new energy to the whole ecumenical journey.
The church should not ask what the other church needs and what it misses, is missing there and what they have to take over from us, but they should ask what is missing with us and what we can learn from the other church. And so it comes to an exchange of gifts, and so we can reach a full sense of Catholicity. Catholicity not in a denominational sense, but in the original, broader sense. And I think that's the only way how we can overcome the problems. It's also a communism of life, because to produce text cannot be the only aim of ecumenism. Text is paper. But the Holy Spirit did not come with paper on Pentecost. He came with fire, and fire burns the paper. But it must be translated, it must be brought into life in the hearts of people and of the whole body of the church. Because now we have so many papers produced in the last 40 years, but there's now a generation who does no longer know all these papers, and nobody can read all this stuff. And so we should make a new effort to make ours what is said. And this means also a certain interpretation of the paper, but it becomes more lively. Otherwise, ecumenism becomes an only academic affair, and this is not enough.
Recognizing the failings in one's own church rather than just in the other.
Yes.
It's easy to say, it's extremely hard to do, isn't it? What kind of reaction do you think you will have to this at the highest levels of the Catholic Church?
Well, when I look back in the last 30, 40 years, we learned, I come now from Germany, a lot from the Protestant Church about the Bible, about exegesis of the Bible, the importance of the Bible, a biblical spirituality. We learned from them, and they are now learning about the liturgy, liturgical science and rites. So it's a mutual enrichment, and I think we can also learn from the Anglican community. It was very impressed about this attitude of listening to each other.
The Lambeth Conference,
the Lambeth,
you mean?
Conference, yes, and that's something we can learn also from the Anglicans. Also the whole principle of comprehensiveness. Well, sometimes Anglicans make a new beatitude of it. This is not good. There must be limits also. But it gives a unity within plurality, plurality within unity. And so I think we learn also from this aspect. And so the whole synodical system, I think, could be improved in our church, especially on the universal level. And so I think there are many things we have to give to each other without giving up our own identity.
It's not the challenge for us to sacrifice our identity, it's the challenge to actually become more fully Catholic. So I think when people might initially hear of ecumenism and assume it's some sort of selling short and compromising of Catholicism. Actually, we're finding people who would be suspicious of that mode of ecumenism becoming very strong supporters and allies of what we're about.
As director of the Centre for Catholic Studies at Durham University, Dr. Paul Murray is editor of this new book and one of the driving forces behind the Receptive Ecumenism Project, which began in January 2006 during a visit by Cardinal Casper to the university in the north of England.
The Cardinal is the first Catholic theologian ever to be honoured by the university with an honorary doctorate for his contribution to Catholic theology in general, but also ecumenical theology and practice in particular. And we wanted to honour that and celebrate it by organising an international research colloquium, which was really focused on the key question in contemporary ecumenism, which is how on earth can we move forwards when the optimism of the 60s and through to the 80s seems to have waned, and we're faced with just a sharpened sense of lasting differences between us.
The ecumenical winter, they call it, don't they? Many people have lost hope altogether.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a gardener, and I know that when I thrust my hands into the soil in deepest December, you find real growth happening, the hard growth that leads to spring. And what we're about is asking, you know, how can we actually stay orientated upon our abiding calling to be one, precisely in this climate? And that's not just about trying to stir up false optimism, but it's actually trying to relearn a fresh way. And that fresh way is saying that this is not simply a field of difficulties. This is an open field of possibilities. It's a possibility because it's a space for learning. The only way in which we can make progress is actually if we move away from high-level bilateral dialogues aimed at trying to find common agreement. That's gone really as far as it can go. Now what we need to do is for each community to take responsibility for its own conversion, its own learning. We're all wounded and in need of transformation. And we can't save ourselves, but we can be saved by the particular gifts of each other.
Now, what does this actually mean? You're using the term receptive ecumenism. What does it actually mean in terms of congregations or people in the pews? How do they proceed with this idea?
Absolutely. One example that I'm quite fond of is our parish has a somewhat dysfunctional parish council. Now, for us to begin to address that problem, the standard way would be for us to look perhaps sideways at other Catholic parishes, or to look at some manuals of how Catholic parish councils might operate, for us to look at best practice within our own tradition. Effectively, what we're suggesting is, why don't we go down the road to our Methodist brothers and sisters or our Anglican brothers and sisters, and we ask, what do they actually do? And then once we've been inspired by what seems fruitful, we then ask ourselves, well, what in that practice can we appropriate with integrity as Catholics? And what parts of the web might we need to reweave and rework in order to allow that appropriation to happen?
This is parish level. Can it work right up to the leadership level, do you think, or is that asking too much?
Absolutely every level. The key issue for Catholics is, how do we go about decision making? That lies behind everything else. We've illustrated it at parish level in terms of parochial councils, but we could illustrate it at deanery level, at diocesan level, the way in which bishops consult or not with their clergy and their people. We could ask it at national level, we could ask it at international level, and it's timely to say that as we're here celebrating the final week of the Synod of Bishops, to ask, how can our practice that is already good be made even freer and fuller by appropriate learning from our other traditions?
You've got some top-level people writing in this volume, haven't you? Tell us a bit about how the process was put together.
Well, we conceived the basic strategy of receptive ecumenism. We decided that the conference was to do two things. It was firstly to articulate and explore that strategy, but it was secondly to test it out and it was appropriate to do so through the host tradition, Catholicism. So we effectively invited a range of scholars, who were many of them practitioners as well as top-level academic scholars of ecumenism from across the traditions, to address one or other of these two issues. Either, how does the strategy of receptive ecumenism hold up against other approaches? Or secondly, some key aspect of Catholicism and how it might learn fruitfully from other traditions. So we ranged through issues to do with Catholic Church order, issues to do with ministry, through to asking the question, well, what are the What are the problems, the factors that militate against us being a learning community within Catholicism? So therefore we stretched out from ecumenists and ecclesiologists to include also sociologists of religion, psychologists of religion, organisational experts who could help bring tools of analysis to the body politic of it, as it were, of the Church, to help the wounded body of Christ move forwards in some way.
This is quite a daring approach, isn't it? I imagine you must have had some negative reactions to this idea.
You're absolutely right, Philippa. There is a challenge in it, but it's the challenge of the gospel. You know, it's not the challenge for us to sacrifice our identity. It's the challenge to actually become more fully Catholic. So what people hear is that it's not about common denominator ecumenism. You know, it's not about trying to pretend that we're all basically the same. It's taking radically serious our long-term differences. And it's also wanting to take seriously the need to learn with integrity, not to become something other than we are, but to become more fully, more freely what we are.
Thanks there to Dr. Paul Murray, Director of the Centre for Catholic Studies at Durham University. And earlier you heard Cardinal Walter Kasper, President of the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity.